I think when we try to be like the great pretender and act like we've got it all together, I think that's such a turnoff to people. They may look up to you for a time, but eventually they're like, okay, but seriously, you can't possibly have everything sunshine and roses all the time.
Welcome to Authentic Energy, a podcast dedicated to getting to the bottom of what it means to be your true, authentic self at work. I am your host, Wendy Brand, a former corporate executive turned transformation coach. Let's take this learning journey together as I meet with guests weekly to learn how they've managed or not managed to find the elusive boundaries and success in their career and what it really means to find balance. Welcome back to another episode of Authentic Energy. Before I tell you about my next guest, I wanted to give a shout out to HR leaders. After my career brought me into HR and talent strategy almost 15 years ago, I developed a love for working cross-functionally, rolling out people systems and tools, building employee programs that fostered engagement, and training programs that reached over 50,000 employees. I know that the role of an HR leader can be burdensome. The nurturing of talent and culture is not solely your responsibility, but it lies firmly in your court. As I progress through my coaching certification program, I need to provide free coaching sessions, free of charge and free of commitment, and I would love to offer this up to HR leaders specifically. Your role serves as coach to many, but a lot of the times you don't get coaching of your own, and coaching can be such a valuable tool for development and growth, no matter if you are just moving into a director or a VP role, or if you're at the C-suite, and oftentimes especially if you're at the C-suite. So if you or someone you know would like to receive a free 45-minute coaching session on the topic of your choice, visit my website at wendybrandcoaching.com/free to sign up for your session today. Okay, on with the show. And speaking of culture, my next guest is a brand culture expert. Her thought leadership around brand culture has led to recruiting, retaining, and caring for over 48,000 employees and connecting with millions of customers over the course of her 20-year career for a multi-billion dollar beloved brand. She has been widely recognized for blazing a trail in social media, communications, and human resources, merging the latter two in ways that resulted in high employee engagement, increased retention, and an admired brand culture. Pam Nimick is a friend and one of the best leaders, honestly, that I've ever had the privilege of working alongside. Her leadership style is one that brings out the best in her employees through connection and authenticity, which is why I thought she'd be the perfect guest for the Authentic Energy podcast. Today, she speaks for corporations and consults on her method, The 7 Steps to Building an Unbeatable Brand, and brings a refreshing, cutting edge, and actionable perspective that results in passionate employees who deliver impressive performance. Our conversation today is real and full of truth nuggets on how to elevate energy within yourself, for your team, and your organization. If you're working on your organization's culture, you're going to love this episode. And if you know someone you think might also like it, I hope you'll share it. Thank you for listening and enjoy the episode. Pam, thank you so much for joining the show. I'm so excited to have you here. So let's just start out if you want to tell us a little bit about your career path and then what you're doing now.
Well, hi, Wendy. So good to be on your podcast. And I am so excited for you and all the great things you're doing for women out there. I love it. So I started my career a long time ago, actually. When I graduated from college, I actually started in nonprofit. I worked for a children's home as their director of public relations. And then I moved to Houston. I was the district director for another nonprofit. And I really enjoyed that work because there was so much purpose behind it. And then I took a short stint as a teacher. I was a business and marketing teacher. So my path was kind of crazy. And then when I had my first child, Caitlin, I took 5 years off to be home with her. And I also had my son during that time. And so I was home with my daughter for 5 years and then with Garrett for 1 year. And at that point, there were some things going on personally that made me go, I think I better get back to work. And so although I had owned my own business during that time that I was home with my kids, I would say it was more of a side hustle than a true business. I did meeting and event planning during that time. That actually, though, helped me because that side hustle ended up getting me my first kind of corporate job. And in that, it was through a contact I had made doing I did a big music festival down in Corpus Christi, met a person who worked for this company, and she kind of recruited me. And then the rest is history. As they say, I stayed there for 20 years, a little over 20 years in a corporate role. And started as a marketing manager and ended up as the senior vice president of HR and brand culture for that organization. I just recently left there it's been a year ago now, and wanted to do my own thing and really kind of find my own stride and my passion. So I took what I learned through all of those different experiences in my life, and I now consult with other companies on how to build companies where people can really thrive both personally and professionally and through the culture that they create within their own business. And how when you do that, it leads not just to high performance at work for the company, it leads to high performance at home for that individual. And so that's what I am focused on doing today.
So exciting. Yeah. And having worked for you and with you in the past, I know that you are going to just bring so much to these organizations. I watched firsthand how you helped build a culture that was just incredible. And so I know that organizations are going to benefit from you. So thank you for doing what you're doing. But let's dig in a little bit. As you know, I'm on a journey to understand how it might be possible to have a successful career and still manage to prioritize yourself and prevent burnout in the workplace. And I know that at one time in your career, and I think for a pretty large part of your career, you were a single mom with two kids while you were in leadership roles. How did you find time for yourself, your kids, and your work? I'm sure it must have been difficult to balance it all.
Yeah, I had been married for 17 years. I was really moving up in the company and just doing the work I do, loving my job, loving the people that I got to work with. And I was getting rewarded for that with promotions and so on. At that point, we were actually relocating our headquarters to the San Antonio area, and that meant me relocating my family. To make a long story short, my husband and I ended up getting a divorce. And when that happened, I was kind of a suddenly single mom. I didn't see it coming. And so at that point, I really just had to double down and focus on my children. Focus on keeping my job and focused on my career. And so that's what I did. Now, during that time, Wendy, I would love to say that I was just all together and everything was great and I worked out every day and things were just the best, but they weren't, right? I mean, I was super sad. I was stressed and I had a lot on my plate, mainly really worried about my kids. I would say this, what I did is I think that when you're going through any time, work-wise, you're challenged, to keep it all balanced. They always talk about balance. I don't know that balance is truly achievable. What I always tried to do was say, okay, I'm going to focus on being present. When I'm at work, I'm going to be at work. I'm going to focus on work. I'm going to give all I can to the people that I work with. I'm going to give all I can to the projects that are due, the work that they need, talk to the leaders, so on. That's going to be my focus. But when I get home, when I'm off, whether that's 5:30 or 6 or whatever that is, I'm going to focus on my kids. And so I focused on things like creating traditions with them. We joke now, I used to have carpet picnics, you know, we'd order pizza and light candles and have picnic, pizza picnics in the living room, right?
How fun.
Yeah, it was just something that we did and things that I could do that, no, it wasn't homemade meals sometimes, but you know what? They didn't care. It was time, quality time. And so I tried to give them quality time. And that for me filled my bucket. And so I didn't get at that point, it wasn't about leaving my kids to go travel. I wanted to be with my kids. That's how I got my energy back. And so I would work hard, but I would also focus on my children on the weekends and the evenings. And that's just what I did. And that helped me stay balanced and focused. And then I have wonderful sisters and a great family. And so all those people just supporting me throughout those years was just huge. And that's kind of how I got through that time, is I just really tried to say, I'm going to focus on the people that matter most to me.
It's so important. And I, you know, I also was a single mother. I was single with my son from birth until he was 5 years old. And so, I took one of the largest roles that I had in my career while he was 1 year old in another city without my sisters and my family and my support system. And so that really, it was a pressure test for me, honestly, in really, really identifying what were those non-negotiables in my life, you know. And you really talked about, you know, being there for the kids when you came home, being at the office while you were there, and because you had to bring money home to take care of those kids, and that whole cycle I totally can relate to. What are some non-negotiables that you identified in your career, kind of how to prioritize yourself?
Yeah, I think for me, and I would offer advice to anybody that's out there listening right now, I had to learn my non-negotiables by trial and error, I think, kind of baptism by fire, as they say. There were things that I realized that when I allowed them into my life, they were toxic for me. And so my non-negotiables in my career were, one, if I was working for a company and they were not allowing me to be the mom that I wanted to be, or there was anything I was being asked to do that would compromise my character in any way, or I felt like I was being disrespected, those were my deal breakers. Mm. Like, that's when I knew it was time, I would have to walk away, right? And thankfully, for the majority of my career, I did not run into that. You know, I had very supportive leadership for the majority of my career that really helped me and understood what I needed as an individual. And I was very clear about that. You know, I would leave meetings early to get to my children's basketball games or their track meets. Again, because that mattered to me. And so I think when you think about your non-negotiables, I know we all, especially women like those that are probably listening, we're high achievers. We want to continue to be promoted or to get that work or be tapped on the shoulder to be at that meeting or all of those things, right? And I think those are great, as long as they don't compromise your true success, which is your life, right?
Right.
And so that's hard for us, because we want to say yes to everyone and everything. And we want to be seen as like this person who has just got it all together. I can keep it all together. But the truth is, nobody can do that, right? You have to say no to certain things so you can say yes to others. And in my experience, I think success is not just about the title, the money, the success as people define it. I think success is about the life you build, the relationships you formed, the way you've treated people, and the achievements that you've had in your life, not just at your job. You've got to think about what is it that really matters to you at the end of your life and then build a life to that.
I love that, Pam. And I love what you said about your non-negotiables. And I, you know, it's interesting that you are phrasing it in this way, because it's actually something that I am personally working through right now. Mm-hmm. And where I ended up at the tail end of my career in the corporate world, where I kept taking on more and more and more. And, but I didn't say no. I didn't say it's too much. I can't do, you know, it's too much for one person, or it's too much for me. And so I'm learning that one thing I need to work on is when to say no, right? It sounds silly and it sounds cliche, but it's true. When you're, like you said, when you're an achiever and you want, you know, you just want to have it all, the family and the career and the, you know, it's hard to be brave enough to say, stop, like, that's enough. You know, this is what I can handle. This is what I'm comfortable with. And, you know, so and what I'm learning too is that, right, I had a role in that. I didn't say no, I didn't stop the workload increasing. But I do think that there is a role of the leader to protect their team and protect that balance of workload. And so I'm curious if, you know, as a leader yourself, are there tips you could give other leaders on how to help protect the workload or how you protect your team as a leader?
That's a great question. I think that it really starts to become about authenticity and honesty with your leader. And it's about that relationship. So when I think about what makes the great leaders that I've had in my life, it's been connection and it's been consistency.
Yes.
Number one, that connection was, they cared about more than Pam at work. They cared about the details of my life, what I was dealing with at home, and what I might be going through. And they didn't just know about it, they cared about it, right? And when you get to know your team like that, and when they get to know you because you open up to them and say, this is what I'm dealing with too, I think there's a connection that's built. And then that ability to say, I can't today. My son has a really important track meet that's very important mm-hmm. to him. I've got to be there. They go, I understand. I get it. Because they know you. And when leaders take the time to do that, I mean, it doesn't make you lazy. It makes you loyal. And it makes you want to move mountains for them. To the contrary, if they don't do that, what do you think happens, right?
Yeah.
You just aren't in it. You're just not in it. If you don't even get to know me and you don't know who I am, you don't care about the things that I care about, then I'm really got one foot out the door. So that's the first thing. I think that leaders should connect to their team at a deeper level than, hey, go get that work done. Second, I think it's about consistency. And when I talk about consistency in culture and consistency in leadership, it's about knowing who you're going to get every day you walk in that door. Is it going to be a different Pam? Is today good Pam and the next tomorrow's evil Pam? I mean, what is it, right? Nobody wants to have to guess at who they're going to work with every day. We all have bad days. We all have moments where we're like, we're not at our best. We know that, right? But if you do that all the time, your team just really gets worn out by you.
Yes.
So I think that there has to be a consistency in your personality and your brand, if you want to look at it that way. But who are you and how do you show up for your team every day? I think that's important.
We create such a, or, and I'm guilty of this in the past, of creating a persona at work and then having my real self at home, and at work trying to be kind of having it all together, and I can handle this and I've got this. And, but I think that it is not a benefit to us and it's not a benefit to our teams, because we're not showing up as our true authentic self. And I think the more we can be vulnerable with our teams, the more the trust, the more trust there will be with our teams. And it's just healthier for us as individuals to show up with what's really going on.
Right. And you're going to have times when you are so stressed, you're not even acting like who you really want to be. And I think it, women have to forgive themselves for that, right? We try to be perfect. We try to act like everything's great, you know? And I just think it's honestly more useful and helpful when people tell you things aren't great, you know, but I'm working through it. And because then they know you're human. I think when we try to be like the great pretender and act like we've got it all together, I think that's such a turnoff to people. They may look up to you for a time, but eventually they're like, okay, but seriously, you can't possibly have everything sunshine and roses all the time, right?
Yeah.
No, I think there's some balance there. I don't think you should be super negative, but I think that you need to be real with people and understand that we're all dealing with our life. And sometimes our life is messy. And I think as long as we can give a little bit of grace to each other during those times, I think that's what makes for happier, healthier lives. And then bigger than that, if you are leading a company, if you're a CEO, if you're in a senior role, an executive role, you ought to be thinking about how am I going to create this culture, this leadership style, these principles that I want? How am I going to make that reality, a reality in our whole company?
And how would you define a healthy culture? Or what is the ideal culture, would you say?
First of all, I think that's a great question, because I don't think that there is any company, no matter what they say, that has a perfect culture, right? I think that there are cultures that are really great, but there's always going to be things and opportunities for improvement. So I define culture probably a little different than others. I define a great culture when you have leaders that are consistently listening to their people, that are putting people above profit. I think that it is a culture that is continuously trying to really improve. And when they stumble and when they make mistakes or when they do something that's hurting people, they care about that and they work to fix it. I think the worst cultures are the ones that, and the ones that are really, I would qualify as almost toxic, are those that just don't care anymore. They have forgotten that the reason for their success is their people. Mm-hmm. And if they don't take care of them, if they don't care about them, if they sacrifice people for profit too many times, it will ruin their culture and ultimately their brand, because those two things are so connected. I got to see that, Wendy, because I worked both in social media, public relations, community relations, and then I also worked over in the internal communication, leadership messaging, meetings and events, HR. I saw both sides.
Right.
And so what I found is that there is a powerful and very tangible connection between your internal culture and what your customers experience. And so if you don't pay attention or you start to take for granted the internal culture of your home office, your field teams, so on, and you don't pay attention to that, eventually it will always show up in your customer experience. And that will either help your performance or it will hurt your performance. And so I think that leaders that lose sight of that are walking a real thin line between success and failure. And so it's like a warning to people, is like, don't ever lose sight that there are human beings behind those numbers that are helping you achieve all that you want to achieve. And so the best use of your time is to take care of them and really connect. understand what who they are, understand what they need personally and professionally, and then do that consistently in all your processes and systems, and make sure that others are doing the same, because that's how you will have long-term sustainable success. Anything less than that, and you will have success for a time, but eventually it will erode. And leaders who understand that when you build a company, a culture, and a group of people that are pursuing a common purpose, you are not just helping your organization be more successful, you're helping a family, you're helping a community, you're helping your country and your whole world, because it all is a domino effect. And I think businesses have so much power that they don't really understand that their impact goes so far beyond the success of their business. The ripple effect,
yes,
of having, say, 50,000 employees or more working for you, the ripple effect of your decisions on your community and country is huge. And I want leaders to realize that importance. And, you know, like Spider-Man says, you know, with great power comes great responsibility.
That's right.
So be responsible. You know, if you've been given a platform and you've been given a role to take care of people, take care of them.
And can you share, for any leaders that might be listening, tips for how they can start to build an environment that allows their teams to fully engage and thrive in their work environment?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that you can do as a leader, let's say you're a medium-sized organization and you have a culture, but you're not really sure you like the direction of it. Maybe it's just something that's kind of formed on its own. I think the first thing you have to do is really be intentional and thoughtful about the culture you want to create, right? Who is it that you want to be as a company? What do you want your brand to stand for? What do you want your culture to stand for? What kind of behaviors do you want to see on a daily basis? What kind of principles do you want your company to be guided by? Once you understand that and you understand your end game, you can start constructing all the things and the systems and the guardrails that will help you build it. So first step, after you understand what you want to be and who you want to kind of be when you grow up, do you have the right leaders on your team? Are those leaders going to be able to live out those behaviors and those principles on a daily basis? Or is there some coaching that needs to be done? Or is there some, Southwest Airlines used to call it, people used to self-eject from their organization because they just didn't fit. Right. And if you have leaders on your team that don't fit your culture, and that are honestly working against it, then it may be time to let them go. They might be a better fit for another organization. They may just not fit in yours. And then beyond that is a whole host of other things that leaders need to do. And what I've had the experience of doing is really building out, like, don't leave culture to chance. Build the communication system that you need that's going to reinforce it on the daily, weekly, quarterly, annual basis. You should have a calendar that literally tells you what are you going to talk about, what are you going to do that's going to reinforce the culture of your organization, what stories need to be told, what rewards and recognition need to be put into the business so that you are not just rewarding the result, you're rewarding the way that person got the result. It's how you manage feedback in your organization. Are you asking for feedback? Are you responding to feedback? Are you doing anything about feedback? Mm-hmm. It's showing that you care. Again, feedback is a way of showing that you care. And so allowing people to give you that feedback without fear of retribution is a really important piece to making sure you have a great culture. So it's all of those things and how you coach and develop. I mean, what is the system for coaching and developing? How are you orienting people in your company? How are you training them? Does everybody know what your culture is about? Do they know how to teach it, how to live it, right? Or are you also leaving all of those things to chance? So it's just like we would never throw somebody into a job without telling them how to, say, run a restaurant, we would never do that.
Right.
But yet we throw people into leadership roles and don't explain to them what our culture is and what, how to actually be part of that company culture. And I think that's a mistake. I think people need to look at it just like you would a business plan and a business strategy for growth. You need a business plan and a business strategy for growing your culture.
I 100% agree. I think that is so well said, Pam, and I love the steps that you've kind of laid out. So let's talk a little bit more just about you. For a year now, you've been out on your own, and I'm curious what in this new role, what really gives you energy and excites you? And then what are the things that you've kind of noticed deplete your energy?
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to people. I get my energy from good people, working with good people, being around good people, being able to live and work in a way that is complementary to my character and doesn't ever compromise that. Being able to choose who, when, what I work on has been huge. I mean, and just fun. I mean, I get to decide what I am passionate about working on. And I love that I'm starting to see that I can help other people just through my experience. And I find a lot of joy in that. And then also, I love to travel. So that's another thing that gives me energy. It's funny. Anytime I'm in a funk, I'm like, I got to get out of here. I love to go somewhere else, break that monotony, get a fresh perspective on my life, or just get away, you know?
Yeah.
So travel is big for me.
This has been a great conversation, Pam. I love this real talk. I love what you're doing on the culture topic because it's so important and it's critical for our organizations. And I do believe that we are at a point in time, especially, I mean, COVID really pushed this forward, is really thinking differently about how we work and how we spend our days because, you know, it's so important to our health and, you know, just our lives. So thank you for what you're doing. It was great talking with you, and thank you so much.
Wow, what a great conversation. Okay, here are my takeaways. Number one, complete balance is not achievable. Focus on being present. Focus on the people that matter most to you and give them quality time. Number two, you have to say no to certain things so you can say yes to the important things. Number three, success is about the life you build, the relationships you form along the way, and the way you have treated people. Number four, successful leaders care about connection and consistency. Number five, create connection with your employees at a deeper level. Don't just know about what's happening in their life, care about what's happening in their life. Number six, consistency in leadership is about knowing who you're going to get when they walk in the door. Nobody wants to guess who they're going to be working with that day. Number seven, show up in authenticity. When we try to be the great pretender, it's a turnoff. Employees may look up to you for a time, but eventually they'll see through it. Number eight, there is no perfect culture, but a great culture is where leaders consistently listen to their people, put people above profit, continuously seek to improve, and when they stumble, they work to fix it. Number nine, companies with toxic cultures have forgotten that the reason for their success is their people. If they sacrifice people for profit too many times, they will see the impact on their culture and their brand. Number 10, there is a powerful and tangible connection between internal culture and your customer's experience. It can either help your business performance or hurt your business performance. Number 11, don't ever lose sight that there are humans on the other side of those numbers. Number 12, three steps to building a healthy culture. First, become intentional and thoughtful about the culture you want to create. Second, determine if you have the right leaders on your team to support your vision. And third, don't leave culture to chance. Just like you have a business plan for growth, you need a plan for building a strong culture. If you want to contact Pam, check the show notes for her information or jot this down. She can be found on LinkedIn as Pam Nemec Culture Coach. And Nemec is N-E-M-E-C, so Pam Nemec Culture Coach. And on Instagram at Pam_Nemec, or check out her website at pamnemec.com. And don't forget, If you'd like a free coaching session, visit wendybrandcoaching.com/free. Thank you for listening. You are the reason why I'm making this podcast. Have a great day.